I'm SP from the GennaGeek.com show, a weekly geek news podcast that is part of the GennaGeek.com network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other amazing geek shows at GennaGeekNetwork.com.
And welcome to Play Comics, the show where normally we look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stick to that source material. But today we're here for another creator episode to talk to somebody who makes comics with Luz Bianca. Luz, how are you today?
I am great. How are you, Chris?
I'm good. And I'm so excited to talk about these with you because, they're just so, I love them. I really do.
Oh, that means a lot.
So for anybody who doesn't know who you are, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, I'm Luz. I'm a Taurus. I am a student writer, mostly a writer right now. I write comics mostly, but also some short stories.
And they're really good comics. I figured you wouldn't say it, but I will.
Okay, thanks. Be my hype man, please.
Oh, I'll do it. I've got other people I'm doing it for too, because I want people to like good things and, you know...
All right. That makes sense.
So you sent me over two things to look at. And the first one was Palace by the Sea.
Yep.
Which is available on Gumroad. We will have a link to that so people can pick it up if they want to.
Yep.
But why don't you tell us a little bit about what inspired that one?
Okay. So it's kind of a roundabout story. And it's not one I always like telling because I feel like I want people to be able to like... interpret it on their own, but because we're doing this and because I figured that every single person who reads the comic is gonna hear this, I figure like it'll be a nice bonus. But I was watching Sailor Moon, and if you're not familiar with Sailor Moon, I'll have to explain a little bit of this, but basically Sailor Moon, the main character, has this boyfriend who she they're both reincarnated, and the reason, well, part of the reason they're reincarnated is because their love for each other was that strong, and they couldn't, like, be together in their first lives, but now in their second lives they can. And there's a part in the anime where he loses his memory and she has to convince him that they are, in fact, reincarnated space lovers. And I just thought, well, gee, what would happen if, like, someone just showed up at your door like, we are soulmates. Hello.
The weird part about that is, for me and Kaylee, we were really behind on watching Runaways, and we just got to that part in the show.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a really cool connection right there.
Definitely. I didn't even think about that. And Zavin is, like, one of my favorite characters, if that's what you're talking about, because I don't watch the Runaway show.
Yeah, I haven't read any of the comics, so the show is all I know about it.
Okay, Zavin's my favorite. I love them so much. Something about aliens, I guess.
One of the things I really like about Palace in the Sea, though, is that at the beginning of it, it's just everyday life. So when you have this person show up, it really does seem, even to me as the reader, like, hey, where the hell did you come from?
Yeah. I think when I showed it to Robin, my artist, their reaction was kind of like the way they initially interpreted it was sort of like, well, I know all these people and they hate their lives and how everyday and mundane they are. But if they actually got the chance to change them, like, would they do it? And I think that's definitely a good way of reading it, because I definitely did want to think about, like, you know, like, you have this whole idea of, like, the protagonist who has this everyday menial kind of existence, and then suddenly they're thrown into something else. But, like, what are you leaving behind, almost?
I know, and that little struggle there was, I don't know what I'd do. because it doesn't seem like Michelle is like hating her life or anything.
I don't think she is either, but she definitely could have a better husband. And that's another aspect that's definitely there, is that I wanted to make their like interactions like as robotic without being robotic as possible.
Which I definitely picked up on, because there's not anything in here that explicitly says he's, you know, the best guy in the world or anything.
Yeah. In fact, I'm not even sure I gave him a name in the comic explicitly. In the script, he's Adam, and I think Robin was like, hey, is she ever going to say his name? And I'm like, no, it's not necessary. He's just a straight white man.
It works, though, because he's just kind of the husband that's there.
Yeah. And I think, like, ideally, like, this is my, like, philosophy, is that ideally, like, you get someone who's there but, like, is still exciting. And I think that's kind of the part he's missing, is that there's, like, some sort of fundamental thing where they just don't, where they just kind of like take each other's presence for granted. Like, yeah, I'm going to be there and you're going to be there. And that's the way life is.
So how did you find Robin? Because I really feel like the art for this does a great job going along with the story you wrote.
Oh gosh. I think I'd known of Robin before this. Like, I'd seen their art and been like, ooh, so... Generally speaking, my process for finding an artist is kind of like, I'll find an artist who I think is like the ideal, and then I'll see who they follow, and I'll just comb through like the follow list on Twitter, because Twitter is generally my favorite place to find artists. And then, you know, sometimes I'll find someone who I already follow and I'm like, oh yeah, they're great. Sometimes I'll find someone who also has a great collection of followers, and sometimes, like for other projects, I'll find someone who I'd never even heard of, who has a great style and lots of experience in sequential narrative. And I'll be like, great. And Robin was great because they were opening up commissions at the time. And I was like, just kind of slid into their emails, I suppose. Like, hey, do you want to do a comic with me?
I feel like you guys did a great job working together, getting that kind of blue tint on everything.
Yeah, I definitely wanted it to be cool-toned. I didn't expect it to come out as blue as it did in the final, and we had, like, a lot of discussions about the first page's colors especially, because we kind of wanted to get, like, this very pastel, dreamy kind of vibe, and then have it go a bit more, like, mundane and just one tone.
I think it works really well. It really does bring out the dreamy aspect of it that Michelle talks about at the end, and... I mean, I was sitting here wondering if this was a real thing until I got to that last page.
I mean, I'm not that big a fan of, like, it was all a dream, because it feels like it just completely does away with the stakes of a story. But I feel like definitely having, like, a dream-like aspect is something I really like in my work.
I'm with you on that. I mean, you've got to have a really special set of circumstances to not piss me off as a reader.
Yeah.
To just say this whole thing was a giant waste to read.
Yeah.
But this one, even if it was all a dream, I think just her going through the process of what would she do if it was real would have still had that be okay.
Yeah. Because I think it's more of an emotional journey than a physical one. And oftentimes it's the emotional journey and the emotional like veracity that really gets me.
Yeah, and one of the other things I really like about it is how it's not really final in the sense that you don't know that the other character is never coming back. You just know she's leaving for now.
I think that does leave, like, a little bit of hope. One of the things that kind of I look back on and think maybe I could have done that differently was, well, this is kind of funny. Fabian Nicieza actually looked at this. Like, I met him once and I gave him like a physical copy of the comic, and it took him months, but he got back to me, and his main point of critique was that it was really depressing and probably too depressing for his tastes.
Well, that's just weird, because I didn't get the depressing part, not too much anyway. Maybe I could just handle more than he can.
Maybe. I mean, I think just because it doesn't end with like that much of a sense of hope, it's hard to like kind of like feel good about it necessarily.
You have that whole sense at the end of, is Michelle going to be able to live with her decision of not going with Amy?
Yeah. And honestly speaking, like as a lesbian, and especially as a lesbian and the lesbian I was when I wrote that story, it was kind of like a lot of like, you know, like you'll see girls and you'll think she's probably straight, I shouldn't do anything. But then you kind of have to live with like the accumulation of all these things you never like took a chance on. And you just kind of have to hope in the future that you'll be braver somehow.
The closest I will ever get to fully understanding that is probably like the seventh grade boy thing of having everybody be out of your league.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Yeah, I can kind of see it. I mean, I still feel like everyone's out of my league, but...
And so this is a final story, at least as of right now, right?
Yep.
Okay. This one I can handle a little bit more, but let's drop some promos for a few other shows. Then we'll come back and talk about one, the other one you sent me, which I really want to see more of, even more.
Hi, I'm Mikey, and I'm one half of the podcast, The Young Ones. It's a podcast about teen superheroes and why we love them. You can join us every other week on Friday. Feel free to follow us on your podcast provider of choice or on Twitter at Young Ones Cast so you can keep up with all of our episodes. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dan.
And I'm Jake.
And we're the Super Sons, a podcast centered around DC Comics, where every other week we break down two stories to make the DCU a little more accessible to new readers.
You can find us on Twitter at DC Super Sons.
And you can download the show anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Those are some great shows you should check out, but first let's finish up with this one. So Liz, the other one you sent over to me is called Sarah.
Yes.
And this is the one where I'm sitting here like, oh, Luz, why is this a single thing? Why can't you make more of it?
If I have a really good idea for Sarah, and I mean, I'm assuming you want more of her and her protagonist, not her and Danielle.
Yeah.
If I have a really good idea for Sarah, I might revisit it, but I don't know what Danny's up to, honestly.
Fair enough. I don't want you to put out crap.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about Sarah?
Okay. I don't even remember where I got the idea for Sarah. I think I was just in this space where I'd constantly gotten the advice that as a beginner comic creator, you should start with something very short, around 8 pages, just to kind of shop yourself around. And eventually the idea came in my head of, I guess just... I'd seen those Tumblr posts of like people having computers for heads, and I thought, gee, that's cool. You know what else is cool though? Magic 8-Balls. So I kind of went with the whole idea of just a girl with a magic 8-ball for her head, and I thought, like, how do you navigate life with that?
It's true though. I mean, how do you?
A lot of blind dates, I'm guessing. Or at least that's what I posit. That's my hypothesis.
I really like on this one how you throw us right into the story. And you don't get that origin at the beginning. You get to know the character as she is now. And then you kind of jump back and get the origin later.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was kind of joking with somebody once that, like, they're like, oh, she wasn't born with it? And I was like, no, like, how would that baby be delivered? I don't understand.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That would be horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine? That's why I always feel bad for, like, those, like, ancient Greek mothers who, like, give birth to monsters, and you're like, you just wanted a pleasant baby and an okay delivery process, and you get the Minotaur.
I've always liked characters with weird things for heads too, because I just sit there and kind of try to figure out where their eyes are and how they see anything.
Yeah. I'm not sure I ever thought about that too hard with Sarah. I think it would probably just boil down to a shrug and magic, you know?
Which is perfectly fine with me.
Yeah. I would hope so. But I'm curious why you want to see so much more of her. I mean,
I just feel like there's a lot more you can get with the story. I don't know what it is. That's I'm not fair. A comic writer on purpose. Because I can't write. I just can't keep an idea going long enough to do it.
Yeah. I guess that's fair.
But just the way you see her going into the cafe And, you know, here's this thing that's really weird about me. And I'm not telling that to people I'm going on the blind date with. You know, why do you think she does it like that?
I think she just kind of feels like, I think it's like a process in like, if I don't tell you, you're going to keep on making faces at me and then trying to like not look me in the eyes kind of thing. Like, I always remember, I hate this trope in TV and other stories where they're like, oh yeah, she's missing an eye, but don't mention it because she's very sensitive about it. Like, she knows she's missing an eye. People tell her about it all the time. Don't pretend it's not a thing.
Yeah, because I can't imagine you'd be able to hide having a magic eight ball for a head at all.
No, not unless you're like building a paper mache head over said magic eight ball head, which would just cause even more questions.
But then this little origin piece in the middle of it with, hey, I like magic. I want to go find things.
Yeah.
It just seems to naturally flow into the story so well.
Oh, thank you. That was actually something I was worried about when I was writing it. You're like, what kind of person is going to get a magic eight ball for a head? What kind of person is actually going to like get into a situation where you get one? And I didn't want to be like, oh, I'm cursed with a magic eight ball for a head, because that seems a bit silly. And like, why would you be so angry about that? It's there. I can think of way worse things to be cursed with, bodily speaking.
And really, the fact that she essentially chose to have it, even though it isn't, you know, super plainly stated to her beforehand that she's going to end up with a magic eight ball head, it's still a choice that she made to get it.
I like giving her that agency, honestly, and just sort of the idea of like, well, I don't know where exactly this will take me, but I'm just going to roll with the punches.
Yeah, she seems to have really accepted it, and I mean, she gets answers to her questions.
Exactly. I guess that's part of why I didn't think it needed to go that much farther, because she seems pretty happy with her life. She doesn't seem like she actually needs to grow that much more. Whereas Michelle, you know, her entire thing, to go back to the other thing, is that she's left with like a lot of uncertainty and guilt.
I think that's really interesting how we both think the opposite comics need more than the other one.
I'm not entirely sure it's a need thing. It's more like I could see myself writing more of Michelle if I really wanted to. Whereas with Sarah, it's more of a, you know, I can't see her character growing that much. And that's something I look for a lot, especially if I'm going to be writing something longer. And I'm not really of the opinion that a character needs to grow or change in order to make a good movie or book or story. I mean, they don't. But it's something I like to write about.
So finding Danny for this one, was that a similar process as finding Robin for Palace by the Sea?
Danny was a little interesting because back when I was writing Sarah, I was not on, I wasn't on Twitter. So I just sort of went around Tumblr and poked around until I found someone with a style I really liked, and that was Danny. And Danny had actually never done a comic before, so I contacted them, and we sort of went back and forth, and eventually I just sort of threw out a page rate, and I don't think they even had that great of an idea of what their page rate would be, so they just took it, which was nice. But yeah, I remember that one took a long time, though, because I think Danny's computer might have crashed at some point.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a long process, but I wasn't facing any deadline, so it was more of a inconvenience than anything else.
That's good.
Yeah, and I remember I posted that on Tumblr, and it maybe has like 20 notes or something like that, which is the equivalent of like likes and retweets combined for those of you who don't have Tumblr. It didn't get a lot of traction at all, and I got really down about it. I remember that combined with some really bad burnout I was facing sort of made me feel I didn't want to write as a career or even at all. But I do remember I went that year, I went to Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, not San Diego. And Ryan North was there, and I talked to him, and I remember it was very kind of cute because we were talking, and I like to think we were hitting it off, and I could sense the other people waiting in line to talk to him getting annoyed because we were taking so long. but he asked me why I didn't write comics anymore when I mentioned that I used to. And I was like, well, I wrote this one and it didn't get a lot of traction. It was just really dispiriting. And he said something along the lines of, yeah, it really sucks how when you're a creator, you know, you can put a lot of effort into something and no one reads it. Or you can put a little bit of effort into it and everybody reads it. And there's no real way of telling based on how much you put into it. And then he asked if he could read it. And I was like, what? And I'm not even sure you ever did, but I gave him the link. And the fact that he was so interested was really moralizing, I guess.
Well, I'm glad you've come back to write some more stuff because I really like these and I'm really excited to see where you go with this. Do you have anything else you're working on right now?
Oh, yeah. Do I? I am writing a... I'm writing a graphic novel right now. It's an adaptation of Jane Eyre, sort of. It's like a modern-day Latinx take on Jane Eyre, and as such, it's called Juana Araya. And that's a huge... Well, it feels huge to me because it's 200 pages right now, and I've spent maybe a year on it.
That sounds really cool. So we'll definitely have to get you back on here, you know, either when that's done or when you feel like it's done enough that you can talk more about it.
Right, right. Yeah, I'll be happy to come back.
Do you have anything you'd like to say to anybody who's listening who might want to start writing comics themselves?
Oh, man, so much. Okay, so the first thing I'd recommend if you want to write comics is, and if you're starting very, very out, is A, just pick up scripts by anybody. There's some online, there's some in a book, which I think is called Panel One, if I remember correctly. So learn the format and then just start very short, like 8 pages is a great number to start at. And just practice finishing things, practice finishing scripts. And then once you feel like you're good, you can start talking to artists. And for the love of God, pay your artists and pay them fairly.
Yes, pay people for their stuff. It's very important.
Very important. But yeah, pay your artists, pay them fairly. It's a big investment, but... And I know it can get tiring if you only write because you're thinking, well, shouldn't I be compensated for what I'm doing? And the thing is it's your idea and they're providing you with service. So really, you should acknowledge that in the form of cash. Well, money.
Exposure doesn't pay the bills.
Exposure does not pay the bills. Exposure is nice to have, but it does not pay the bills.
And if you have a landlord who accepts exposure as payment, you should never move, ever.
Never. Oh my God. And also give me their contact information, please.
We will all go live there.
Yeah.
So Luz, if anybody wants to go see any more of your work, where else can they find you around the internet?
Well, you can find me at my website, luzbianca.com, and on Twitter at luzbianca417. And I think that's all I'm really at. Online, I do have a Tumblr. It's just a graveyard right now.
We will have links to the active things down in the show notes because clicking links is better than trying to spell things out.
Yeah, LuzBianca, if you can remember it.
And as always, you can find me either over on Twitter at PlayComicsCast or at the Facebook group, just playcomics.com/Facebook group. It'll forward you right over there. And if you wanted to come support the show, go buy something from Luz instead, because she's making actual cool things, and I'm just having a silly show talking about comics and video games, so go do that.
Oh, and I totally forgot. I also have a Patreon. If you really want to support me, and you really like me, in which case, God bless you. I'm Luz Bianca on Patreon. I think I have one thing up there, but I'm working on another thing.
Luz is definitely somebody you should support because she's sitting here making some wonderful stuff. And I really like seeing people make the comics that they love. And
yeah,
I can tell that that's what she's doing. Don't forget that Play Comics is a part of the Gonna Geek Network, home to such wonderful shows as Better Podcasting, where you can learn how to podcast better. And I know I mention them a lot, but my tab has flown away and I don't feel like pulling up a new one right now. I'm sorry to everybody else on the network. And if you like the music that we're rudely talking on top of right now, head on over to soundcloud.com/best-day. Check out his music. And if you want to use some of that for your projects, pay him for it. That's the theme of the day right now. Pay your artists and you can use it. Other than that, just go find a new comic writer. Buy a bunch of stuff from him so you can have a whole stack of comics and find yourself a new favorite character.
Hi, I'm Luz Bianca. okay, I'm going to start that over. Wait. I should not have had that much cheese before this. God.